Now we're going to look at the first reading, which forms the basis of a lot of the theology of the letter to the Hebrews. It's Genesis 14. We have just three verses from Genesis 14 on Melchizedek. I wonder why they're so stingy. However, we'll do what we can with what we've got. In those days, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Doesn't the letter to the Hebrews make so much of this, huh? And you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The letter to the Hebrews, it underlies so much of the figure of Melchizedek, especially in the earlier part of the letter. Melchizedek, I think, no, he doesn't give us here. Melchizedek, my king is righteous, or my king is justice. Okay, brought out bread and wine. Now, who would miss that, reading the Bible? Back there, bread and wine. The stuff we live by. The stuff that rejoices us and makes our meal a delight, bread and wine. And that becomes the body and blood of Christ, the stuff we live by, the body of Christ, the stuff that is our delight, the very blood poured out by Christ. Already, Melchizedek, you see? And the account. And as the letter to the Hebrews points out so beautifully, it's all throughout the letter to the Hebrews, I think you all know that, is this notion, especially chapter 7. Who is this Melchizedek? You see, who is, finally? You see? Jesus Christ. He's the one who takes bread and wine and does what no other creature in the world, no creature could ever do. Makes it his own body and blood and says, here, eat me, drink me, live by me, even in the stuff of your body, and I will take you and your body into eternal life. You've heard me quote a million times that phrase of Saint Irenaeus, huh? That it is impossible that a body into which has come the body and blood of Christ, unless that person turns away. Otherwise, it is impossible that that body stay corrupt forever. It has to rise. It's been touched by the very body and blood of Christ. And so here, now, we have this. So, Melchizedek, Melech Shalom, Shalem, rather, king of, sorry, Salem, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and bring a priest of El Elyon, God the Most High. He blessed Abram with these words. Now you're going to hear how our Father is blessed. We're all children of Abraham. And more so as we live by faith. Blessed be Abram, by El Elyon, God Most High, Creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your foes into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Now all we have in the reading is that little bit. I suppose some of the people planning that thought, well, maybe for this week we ought to have four readings. I don't know how they get away with it. But because where is this? See, it's the letter to the Hebrews building on that phrase in the psalm, right? You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Somebody stole Hebrews out of my Bible, I guess. Ah, there it is. Okay. And so... Uh, This is Hebrews. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, and priest of El Elyon, God Most High, you see, met Abraham as he returned from his defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham apportioned to him a tenth of everything. His name, Melchizedek's name, means righteous king. And also, he was king of Salem. Well, now, this genius who wrote Hebrew, Salem kind of sounds like Shalom, doesn't it? And so, he's the king of peace, you see. Now, as he's presented to us, he enters the stage, this whole chapter 14 of the book of Genesis drops like a meteor between 13 and 15. This Melchizedek incident, and except for that mention in Psalm 110, he hardly figures at all. But this text is important, you see. Without father, mother, or ancestry, without beginning of days or end of life. How does he know that? He doesn't. It's what the text says. Most of the time, you'd have Melchizedek ben somebody, right? Melchizedek, son of so-and-so. Not here. You just have Melchizedek. And that strikes this genius who wrote the letter to the Hebrews. You see, he just appears, his name is Melchizedek, and he disappears. And he shows up in Psalm 110. You see? And so, how great he is, to whom the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of his spoil. It wasn't Melchizedek who gave a tithe to Abraham. It was Abraham, our father, who gave a tithe to Melchizedek. You see? Now, what did Melchizedek bring out? Bread and wine. Why not a calf? Why not a bullock? Now, why bread and wine? This is so mysterious. And the author of the letter to the Hebrews, a mystic himself, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, knows how significant this is. Because the priesthood, which follows from the order of Melchizedek, the one into which we are ordained, because we're ordained in the priesthood of Christ, offers bread and wine. That's what we offer. But we don't offer bread and wine, as we already saw. This bread changes you into the body of Christ, because it is the body and blood of Christ by the time we distribute it. It's the very body and blood of Christ. When our Lord took that at the Last Supper, broke it and said, here, take this, eat it. This is my body. Here, take this, drink it. Can you imagine the intensity with which he said, take and eat, take and drink? The intensity, the love, the desire to share, to protect, to build up his church, his disciples, right there in front of him. Take it, drink it, take it in. Yes, physically, but then take it in spiritually. Take me in. Spiritually. And be as obedient to my Father as I am. Because you must now serve my body, the church. We have no time to go on vacation. No time to do anything. You see? Take a vacation, doesn't hurt. But you see, this notion. So it's this author inspired, the author of the letter to the Hebrews. We don't know who he is. As Origen said, one of the great exegetes of all time, who the author is, nobody knows, only God. Those are guesses. It can't be Paul. Well, I mean, it can't be. It's not a metaphysic. It can't. But the language is so different. The whole approach is, this is not the way Paul writes or speaks. It's another person. And this person was a mystic and a genius. And he had one aim in mind, to strengthen the persecuted Christian communities in the Greek-speaking world, probably down in Alexandria. But who he was, as I say, Origen, the great, says, only God knows. Only God knows who he is. But he's such an enlightened man. And he pounces on this bread and wine of Melchizedek, you see, to teach us. So, bread and wine, the very stuff we live by. Jesus says, the bread and wine that you live by, now and forever, is my body and my blood. That's what you really live by. And that's why, can you imagine the intensity with which he said to his disciples, take, eat. You know, it wasn't like, take it. You know, it couldn't have been. I'm giving you my stuff. I'm giving you my very physical being to live by forever. Take it. Eat it. Be ready. Yes, you're going to fail me, but you won't fail me ultimately. And then you will spread this gift of bread and wine throughout the whole world. You will teach the whole world how to do this in memory of me. Because I'm giving you that power, and you, by the laying on of hands, can give it to others. And so that the whole church lives by my body and my blood, as they are vehicles of the Holy Spirit. I forgot who said this. It just occurred to me at this moment. Isn't that funny? I can't remember. Whoever said it, one of the fathers. I think it's Ephraim. For now it's Ephraim, because I can't remember. Okay. When you take this body, you take the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's what you're taking. You see? And so, this text is saying here now, you see, that this, he's a figure, as the letter to the Hebrews tells us, you see? Without father or mother, that's how he's written. And he's arguing from the text. He knows he's got a father and a mother and an ancestry, but not in the text. Not a word. His identity has nothing to do with where he comes from. His identity is what he prefigures. That's all you have to know about him. One of the few in the whole Bible that you don't hear so-and-so, son of so-and-so, right? And so he's making, this letter is making, if he was making a great deal of that. See how great he is to whom the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils. Now, the descendants of Abraham include the tribe of Levi. So Levi was still in the loins of Abraham, and it was Levi in Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek. What does that mean? This is not the kind of reasoning we do, but it makes sense, right? Levi, it's the lesser who gives tithes to the greater, right? So Levi and his priesthood are lesser than Melchizedek and his priesthood, because ultimately the Messiah is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And that's the argument. So this, the Lord Christ, you see, he's prefigured by Melchizedek. And he is, and that's why you are a priest forever in the Psalm, which figures largely in the letter to the Hebrews. You see, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. That's how the church starts our preparation for the Eucharistic liturgy, thinking about this mystery of Melchizedek in anticipation of the reality of Christ.